Earlier this week, we celebrated the beginning of the new year. And if you are like many people in our country, you've made resolutions for this year. Maybe they're resolutions to be better spouses or to be better parents. Maybe you've made a resolution this year to be in church more regularly. And perhaps that's why you're here today. Made resolutions about spending more time in the Word and drawing closer to God this year. Resolutions about your weight because you've looked at the scale after all of the holiday cookies and all of the holiday parties. And my prayer is that you would succeed in those this year, especially those that have to do with your faith. But as we celebrate communion this morning, what I want to celebrate is a resolution that none of us could ever keep. And that's a resolution to be right with God. You see, the reason we celebrate communion together this morning is because none of us are able to keep that resolution. If it were up to us, none of us would be able to sin less and try harder to be more holy in a way to ever repair what was broken between us and God. And that's why Jesus came and died, and that's why his body was broken, as we symbolize with this bread, to repair all of the failed attempts that we would make as people to be right with God, because he knew that we could never do it. And so Jesus was crucified to make a way for us to be right with God in a way that no New Year's resolution could ever possibly fulfill, but God in his faithfulness would accomplish for us. And so as we take the bread together this morning, let's celebrate as people our inadequacy to draw near to God, but Jesus' sufficiency to make a way for those of us who would place our faith in him, so that we would be viewed this year and every year as the very righteousness of Jesus, both now and in the day that we stand before our Maker in heaven and we see him face to face. Let's take the bread together this morning. As the servers come forward with the cup now at this time, I want you to consider this final thought. What if the things that we determine to do differently this year are not so that we can earn God's favor or to try to make him pleased with us? What if the things that we determine to do differently this year stem from a deep belief in our soul that through Christ, the God of the universe, who spoke the world into existence and who flung the stars out by the power of his breath, that through Christ, God is already pleased with us, and that he showers his favor freely upon us, so that the efforts we make this year are not done to try to gain something from God that we lack, but are done in response to what God has given us freely and abundantly through Jesus. The blood of Christ that we celebrate through the taking of the cup together in communion today, that blood of Christ secures for you and I the rich mercy of God the Father, and it secures for us the peace of knowing that we've been made right with him, that our debt has been canceled in his sight now and forevermore, and that we are free as his children to come boldly into his presence and find help in our time of need, because he indeed is sufficient for us. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, that gives us the freedom both this year and in the years to come to know that you are well pleased with us through Christ, and that we have a hope that is secure for us in heaven, where our Savior stands risen and ready to receive all who would call upon his name in faith. We give you thanks this year that Jesus stands not only ready to save us, but to continue working in our lives to make us more like him every single day. We give you all thanks in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, it's my privilege to introduce to you and to welcome to visit with us from God's Word, Pastor Morris Oganga.
I greet you all in Jesus' name. Happy New Year. I want to thank God for the opportunity he has given to me to stand before you. I remember I stood before you last year, but one, that is 2013, when I came here and I stood before you. I want to thank the leadership of this church. I want to thank the pastor. I want to thank the elders. I want to thank the deacon and the congregation of this church for all the support you have given us all the 15 years around without giving up supporting us. And remember, this church is the first church which made me came into the United States. And I want to say God is great, and I want to say God is a wonderful God. He has a good plan for each one of us. Since we began with this church, I want to start that the purpose of my coming here, the first time I came here, I talk about church planting, reaching the lost. Since that time when we began with this church, we have planted 108 churches. It is through this church that I was introduced to other churches in the States. And it was through this church which has been paying for my funds from coming to Uganda to here every year, and I thank you for that. Number two, I want just to tell you about the church planting in Uganda. The 108 churches which we have, I would like to tell you that the churches are doing well because we have not lost one church ever since we began. There is no church we have closed. Most of the churches are doing well, except some few. As you know, we are in the battle. The Bible says the battle is not against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against the enemy. Out of these churches, which we have planted churches in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. And we were very grateful, and I want to say, out of these churches, we are very grateful to say thank you for supporting the pastors who have been in these churches. Number two, from these churches, I want to say thank you for helping us to build the Bible College. Most of these pastors whom we have taken into these churches, they have been trained in the Bible College. And the church here has supported us to pay the salary for the teachers who are teaching in the college for all these years. So I want to say thank you very much for supporting the Bible College. Right now we are building a library. We didn't have a library. They sent us many books, but we could not use them because we did not have a better place. And we are very grateful that we have received money and we are building a library and we are building offices of administration which we didn't have through this church. And I want to say thank you very much for all that support which comes in helping us to build the Bible College, because we cannot continue with church planting without people being trained, because we as the church which believes in God's word, Jesus said, go all over the world, preach the gospel, whoever believe, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them everything I've commanded you. So we are training these pastors, equipping them so that we may send them to these churches which we have opened. But without your support, we couldn't make it. And so we say thank you for the support you have given all these years for building now. We are building the library soon. We know by February to March, we would have finished this library. And we know we shall have administration offices. And we know we'll have another block of class there. At this moment in the school, we have 45 students who are in the college right now as I stand before you. So we are just saying thank you. We are overwhelmed and we are very happy for what you are doing for us. I want to talk also about the orphanage. It is through this church that the orphanage, Lulwanda Grace Children, International Children's Home, started in Uganda. I remember one time we sat and it was from this church. All these things, the foundation is this church. Recently I was asking somebody that, why is not the office of Grace International Lulwanda Children's Home in this church? Because I know the foundation of Grace International Lulwanda Children's Home, this is the foundation. This is the beginning of everything. And so in Lulwanda Children's Home, we have 109 children. These children are growing very fast. Some of them, whenever I go there, they call me Papa. But at this moment, when I go there, some are in my height. And yet, by the time when they came to the home, they were very little. They were only 3 years. Some were 3 years. Some were four. But now these children are no longer children, but now they are adult. The others are in high school. And we are really very grateful for support of these children, that these children, venerable children who do not have hope, can now have a big smile. And you know, those big smiles are not coming from nothing. Those big smile is coming because of your faithfulness, because of your generosity, of the continuous giving towards Lulwanda Children's Home. And I want to say thank you very much, because we are bringing that generation. We know that from Lulwanda Children's Home, we will get, who knows, might be a president of Uganda one time. We will get ministers from there. We will get pastors. We will get elders. We will get teachers. That means we are building a foundation for another generation. So I want to say thank you very much for supporting the children of Lulwanda Children's Home. We have a primary school there called Lulwanda Primary School, where also we teach these children. But still, we don't have a secondary school within that site. We are praying that one time God will provide so that we may have a secondary school, so that our children may grow up, may be brought up in a Christian circle. As you know, in most past years, I want to tell you something which is happening in our country. Many years ago, I walked all over our country. I did not see mosque in Uganda after 3 miles. Today, when you come to Uganda, every 3 miles, there is a mosque. And in the mosque, there is a school. They have built a school there. In a mosque where there is a mosque, there is a primary school, there is a secondary school. I think this is coming up as a way, how can we overcome the Christians? Because they have made their institutions a bit cheaper so that Christians who are unable can go to that school. Like in Mbale, we have the largest university is in Mbale, where I come from. And when you go there, the first subject you are to take is Islamic. If you don't pass Islamic, You cannot go to another. They will not admit you. They will say, no, we don't need you. Now, this I just want to say, as I say, I come from Uganda to bring you all this. And these greetings come from the brothers. You know, one time you came to Uganda, maybe you came 10 years ago. Now, if you came 10 years ago, the children you met there, and you return back this way, I want to tell you something, that those children are grown up. The Luanda children have grown up, and I want to invite grace that you people, you need to come to Luanda and see the work you began. Just as Paul said, I began the work, and time came when Paul was to go back to see the work he had done. I invite you to come. And I want to say, our people in Uganda loves you. They pray for you. And they still say, the work is still in plenty. The harvest is plenty. Only one thing, that the labor are few. But when I look here, I say the labor are not few. The only thing is that when do we make a commitment to go and move forward? And I want to say thank you so much for the support of the Bible College, the support of Luanda Children's Home, the support of church planting. When we began, I still reverse and say, when we began, we started these churches under a tree. People who came first in year 97 saw what I'm talking about. We did not have a building. Most of the churches we have started were under the trees. And I remember coming here and talking with this church, and this church stood up. And I remember them, I can't forget. I remember them. That year, this church raised $45,000. And we went back. And all the five churches which were under the tree were built in 1 year. And people were surprised. Why don't we clap to God for that? You see, sometimes we need to clap for God. For God, what God has done. Because we see what God has done. And I come here to invite you that we are looking forward to see your faces again. I was looking around, then I saw Charlie. I remember last year I asked Charlie, can you come and see the ground you stepped on? When you stepped on that ground, there was no building. But now, where you stepped, you can't see your feet. The only thing you will see, Charlie, is a big building. And with the children. So I want to really say thank you very much. I want to thank your pastor. Pastor Rogers, thank you for coming to our country. He walked in the trail. And people did not know he's a pastor. They were asking me, who is this man who doesn't talk? And he was walking. He never introduced himself as a pastor. Until I told the people, but do you know that man? Say, we don't know, my fellow pastors. I say, that's the pastor of grace. Who are those guys who are the one who have begun to say, oh, we did not know it's the pastor. You know, humility. So thank you very much, pastor, for coming. Just to come to Uganda and see where the work started is. Paul, thank you. I don't say we have more than enough. Nobody has enough. Even God did not have many children to send. He had only one child. He had only one son. But because of love, he sent the other one. That one only. Say, you go. I will remain this way, but you go. And Jesus had to come. So I really want to thank you very much for the work done in Kenya, in Tanzania, and in Uganda. This all we see, we are seeing the fruit. And I want to tell you, all these pastors are from your labor. All these people we are training now, they are from your labor. And because this labor is growing up, we are reaching many people. We are planning to reach Sudan, even though South Sudan now have problem, but we are praying that God may establish peace there in Southern Sudan, that the work of God may be carried on forward. And so I want to say thank you. And I've come here with a message from Uganda, and they say, can you tell our parents, our fathers, to come? How many are willing to come? Hands are down. Oh, what do I do? So, but the Bible say, come. So I'm waiting for you people, and I'm saying that this is the time. The work is still there until Jesus Christ return. Before he comes, my brothers and my sister in the Lord, we invite you to come and let us reach the lost soul. As I always tell you, that is the purpose of us coming here. So, I want you to turn with me in the book of Philippians chapter 1. Just from verse 12 to 29. And my theme today, continue with your life and let your life give God glory. And let every opportunity God provide for you give God glory. Paul is the one who is writing to the brethren in Philippian church. These brethren are just like us. You know, sometimes when we talk about the brethren who are in Philippian church, and sometimes we think they were different from us. They were just the same like us. But Paul is writing this letter in his second journey. In 61 AD, Paul had already gone there and established a church. And after he established a church, he went back. But now on the second of his journey, if you read Acts 28, the Bible says Paul was arrested. And when Paul was arrested, he was put into prison. And when Paul was in prison, Paul is writing this letter. This letter is to encourage the believers in Philippian church. And I'm bringing this letter, that this letter is to encourage you today. The Bible says Paul, when he was arrested, he was imprisoned in a house where he was. And the Bible says, Paul said that even though I was in prison, the word of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was not in chain. That's what Paul is trying to say. Because when he was in prison, Paul had opportunity. Paul had opportunity. And the opportunity Paul had was that Paul was able to share the word of God. He was able to share the word of God with his prison mates. And many of them came to the Lord. He was able to share the gospel with the guard of the prison, and they became believers. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the brothers because he did not want the brothers who are in Philippi to get discouraged. Because now Paul is in prison, and brothers who are behind here, some of them might be, they were getting discouraged. I want to tell you something. If something happened in our church here today, and they are killing people, some of you will be discouraged. The Bible says Paul was put in prison, and when he was in prison, the Bible says that his life, even when he was there, was glorifying God. And his being in prison, Paul said, my being in prison advanced the gospel. Because people came to see Paul in prison. But Paul did not cry and say, I don't know why I'm in prison. I am suffering. Why am I suffering in this prison? Paul did not say that. Sometimes when we suffer, we say, I think God has left me. Why am I suffering? Have you ever said that? Sometimes we say, where is this God? If God was there, would I be suffering like this? Sometimes that comes and even make you be discouraged. But the Bible says Paul is writing a letter to the brethren in Philippian church and say, my brother, listen. My being in prison has made impact in prison and also outside prison. Because those who came to see me in prison, I was able, God gave me opportunity. The opportunity Paul had in prison that he was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in prison, and the prisoners got saved, and even the guy got saved. And when the brothers who were at that side in Philippians heard about this, those who were discouraged, they got encouraged. They say, if Paul can be in prison, and Paul is trying to tell us that his being in prison has made impact, his being in prison has given him opportunity, then who are we? The Bible says this made believers in Philippian church to be encouraged. And those who could not preach the gospel, they stood firm. And they became bold and start preaching the gospel in boldness. Why did they preach the gospel in boldness? Because when they look at a man who is in prison, is preaching the gospel, the fear they had left them, and they started preaching the gospel. My brothers and my sisters in the Lord, the Bible says, look at your life. Your life is to glorify the name of the Lord. Every opportunity which comes on your way, you need to use it for the glory of the Lord. That is why God has called us, and that's why even when we're in such a burden. Now, somebody will say, I'm not in prison like Paul. Yes, it is true, you are not in prison like Paul. That was a physical prison. But now, I want to tell you something. We are here seated. But you may be in another prison, which is not like the prison in which Paul was in. Sometimes we are in prison of unquestionable how to answer questions have failed us. How do I go about this question? How do I answer this? Now we are talking about going to Uganda. Some people are asking, how will I go to Uganda? That becomes a prison in life. How do I go? I don't have the money. How do I go to that country? How do I go to Uganda? Now, the Bible is saying, though such things are there happening in our life. Some of us have a prison of financial, home financial burden. You don't have enough money. You are running out of money. Maybe you are retired and the money is running away. And now you are asking, but the money is running away. I don't have enough. What am I going to do? Those are prison burdens to believers in this world where we live today. Sometimes we have family issues. Men and women have family burdens, which has become a prison in the home. You find a man and a woman, they are seated together, but they are like people seated in a time bomb. How is that woman? How is that man? Yes, he's there. How is your wife? Oh, my wife? Oh, yeah, he is there. You see, now that's the time bomb now. No one is ready to explain how another one is doing. Because the prisonness which is there is that people are now working. How do we apart away? But I want you to look into this. When we are all going through all this imprisonment of this world where we live, what should we do? Paul was in prison. He was under arrest. But what does Paul tell us? My being in prison impacted the gospel to those who did not know the gospel. Which means his being in prison was better. Now, whenever all these things we are going on, sometimes we have conflicts in homes. And becomes like when a conflict comes in a home, it is as if you are in prison. You know, even coming home early is a problem. Sometimes you ask your friend, where did you come home late? So, you know, when people are in prison of the home of a family, people start tending not coming home the way the time is supposed to, because the home is on fire. But Paul is trying to say, all these imprisonments and the burdens we are going in and the problems we are going in, what should we do as born-again Christian? The Bible says even when we are going through those time bombs and through the problem, the Bible says all these problems must glorify God. The decision making, we must glorify God. Because the Bible says we are in Christ. And so every decision we are going to make, we must make sure it is glorifying God. When I lose my job, and now I have no job, and then a time comes when I get job, that is job opportunity. Sometime after we have got the job, we never think about God anymore. Don't we? The job now becomes everything for me. And when I was asking God, God, give me a job, then God said, every time God has given us opportunity, he has given you the job. Immediately you get the job, and now what is happening? You are misusing the opportunity. Most of the time we have misused the opportunity God has given to us. In order for using that opportunity to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, even to the place of work, even to the people I work with, even to the people I go with them to school, we have not done that. But Paul said, my being in this prison was advancing the gospel. Let the opportunity which comes on your way glorify the name of the Lord. And that means our life and everything we do should glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the Bible is speaking about, Paul was talking about, some people were preaching the gospel, but not in faithfulness. Some people were preaching the gospel in jealousy, in hunger, but now let us look at the world. I want us to go back to the world and see how the world is today. The world is looking at everything in the scope and they're saying, what is the world striving for? The world is striving for money. That's what the world is striving for. You really look at they talk nothing. Money, 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 money. That's what the world is striving for. And then they are striving for popularity. How can they be famous? How can we be heard that we are the so-and-so who have done this? That is the world. The whole world is striving for that. The world is striving for power. Which country is powerful? Are they going to get powerful than us? We must work away or we can be powerful than them. That is the world. But now what about us? What should we strive for? As a believer, what should we strive for? We should strive that Jesus Christ, we preach Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. He died. He was buried. The third day, he rose again, ascended into heaven, sitting on the right hand God of the Father. And the Bible says, whoever believes in him will not perish and have everlasting life. That is what we need to strive for. In every opportunity, never forget that. In your place of work, remember why are you there. You are there. You are alive. You are living. Your marriage and everything is to advance the gospel. Because when somebody comes and says, brother, how have you gone about this? You tell him, because the Bible told me I have to do this. And the name of the Lord will be glorified. Let us strive to preach the gospel that Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. The suffering will be there. You know, in the world of today, believers don't want to hear the word suffering. But I want you to understand what Jesus said, we will suffer. Now somebody say, who say you should suffer? When people talk about suffering, you hear believers become very cold. Oh, we are suffering. I don't want to suffer. See? But the Bible is very clear. Jesus said, I suffered. You will suffer. But after it's done, what did he say? I will be with you in heaven. And in heaven, will I be suffering again? No, it will not be there. So my brothers and my sisters in the Lord, let your life glorify God. Let the decision you are making, don't make the decision like the world. Don't say, so and so told me do this. You say, what did God tell me in his Bible? So what decision should I make? That will strengthen everything we do. And it will glorify the name of the Lord. The suffering of this world will always be there. Because it must make to sharpen our mind. The suffering only the Bible says strengthen our faith. And it makes us to draw ourselves back to God. And the suffering makes us to know we don't need to have the comfort of the world. I don't say you don't need to have what God has given to you. You should miss it. No, I say that everything which come on your way, glorify the Lord. Your decision, glorify God. Your business, glorify God. Your money, glorify God. Everything you are doing to glorify God. Because whatever we are now is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who was crucified? Who died? Because the world does not know who Jesus is. It is you who know Jesus Christ is. What are you striving for? In which prison are you in now? I don't know. You men and wives who are here, which prison are you in that home? Have you ever seen a man and a woman when they cross one another in the gate? As if they have never known one person again. You know what? Because the prison has come, but the question comes, how do we deal with those matters? Everything we want to deal with must glorify God. Because we are children of God, and everything we want to do is not to please the world. We are to please God. And so, my brothers and my sisters in grace, I've come to invite you, and I say, every opportunity you have, may that opportunity advance the gospel. Because what you invest now in that opportunity is what you will see one day. And when it will be good, when you come home and God say, well, come back home, my servant. We are now to preach the truth. We are now to preach love. we are now to preach peace. Because there is no peace without Jesus Christ. There is no peace. The peace must prevail. My brothers, I encourage you today, strive to preach the gospel. My brothers, I plead with you, in that prison where you are, let it glorify God, that the word of God will be the answer, and obey the word of God, which would say, this is what you are supposed to do. Don't say, I have decided. You say, God say, this is what we are to do. Do you abide with that? Yes, sir. May God bless you. Thank you.
We're going to pray for Morris, and I want you all to stand with me. Let's pray together. Just agree in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much. You are a gracious God, and you deserve to be glorified in everything we do. And help us to deal with our own prisons wherever we're at. We thank you for bringing Morris and Ida here safely to us. We pray for their safety as they visit many other churches and they travel about the United States. Protect them and watch over them. Grant them wonderful, restful times, encouraging times. We pray for people here as well as other churches that may be on the edge, not sure if they should be able to go or that they can go to Uganda. We just pray that you would use the things that have been shared and the things that they're seeing to spur them to consider going over. We pray that you'd touch hearts. And touch hearts also to pray and to give towards the ministry. We do pray for the churches. Thank you so much for those 109 churches. And we pray for those churches that are struggling. Help Morris and the elders and those who are involved to help them work through their issues. All churches go through issues. We know that. We ask, Lord, for continued growth in their WANA programs and the youth programs. We pray for the orphanage. And Lord, we just thank you for the school and the education they're providing for those young men to become ministers. May you continue to bless them. Be with the administration. Help them make good decisions. We pray for the students, for their maturity and growth. Lord, we thank you for the things you're doing in Uganda, Tanzania, and in Kenya, and the way you're using Morris and I to protect them in their ministry from the wiles of the devil. Protect them and help them make good decisions to glorify God, to keep you first, and have a strong marriage. We thank you for them and praise you that you brought them to us. In Christ's name, amen.